Thank you, Charulanka, and Vishuddhavati, yes, and the North London Buddhist Centers, all brothers and sisters in Sangha. Jai Bhim.
Jai Bhim.
Jai Bhim.
Jai Bhim.
Thank you very much. Yes, this is cold for us outside, it's really cold for us. And yes, coming from India, we really feel cold. But though the outside cold is there, but this room is very warm. And it's not warm because of the heating is on, it's warm because of your metta. The warmness coming from you as a Sangha. So that's we are experiencing actually. We don't feel that we are coming from India and we are not connected with each other. We are just experiencing the brotherhood, sisterhood. Yes, we are brothers and sisters in the one Sangha. That is the experience we are taking actually. And this experience is coming because, first of all, we are connected with our teacher, Sangha Rakshita, who is our teacher actually, and he is our first connection. And then there is a connection with Dr. Ambedkar. But this lineage of connection doesn't stop here. It goes directly to the Buddha. And we all connect each other through him by going for refuge actually to Buddha. The three jewels particularly, we are connecting with each other. That's why we could come to North London Buddhist Center. Otherwise, person like me actually would never anticipated coming to England and talking to you people. My English is not good, but still I am confident enough to present myself in front of you because of the feeling people sitting in front of me are not different than my brothers and sisters. So that connection straightforwardly goes to the Buddha and our common going for refuge to Buddha Dhamma and Sangha. This is very interesting because what Buddha has offered 2500 years ago is still benefiting for human being, whether they are in India or they are in West or any part of the world. Buddha's teaching or Buddha's enlightenment is going to benefit for so many people. It's definitely such an achievement of Buddha that actually he has seen through. Buddha's enlightenment is called having seen through the reality of the world. But this is very interesting. Having seen through the reality of the world, he didn't detach himself from the world. That is very important thing. Dr. Ambedkar used to say that when the Hindu ascetic tried to go to Himalaya and meditate there, and he might get something actually, something of the enlightenment, he might get something of that kind, some glimpse. So he immediately declared from the society that he is dead for the society because now he is detached from the society. Buddha didn't do that. He was unattached, having seen through the reality, he became unattached to the world, but he never became detached to the world. Other hand, what he did, having really seen through the reality of the world, that is the dukkha, he responded with his compassion, his metta. And that metta still benefiting us. His compassion still benefiting us. It's benefiting the whole human being in general, but it's benefiting us in India in particular. This is very important to trace that his metta, his compassion is benefiting in India in particular, particularly with the society which was most disadvantaged in India, who was deliberately denied the human life. They've been treated as inhuman. They've been deliberately denied actually every possibility every possibility to be lived as a human being. And Buddhism or Buddha has giving those people a hope of life. That is very important actually. That's why Buddha is very dear to us. But how Buddha comes to us actually? This is very important. Being in that disadvantaged stage, how Buddha comes to us? It comes through or going forth. We are going for refuge with Dr. Ambedkar in 1956. This was his creative response to the situation there. This is very important to notice. This was his creative response. Going for refuge to Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha was creative response to that situation. You could imagine that people deliberately put into that disadvantaged stage for thousands of years. They could become hostile to the society. They could have the strong feeling of revenge, taking revenge of that society. Nothing of this kind happened. What he done actually, he took those people in the faith of Buddha, who would always teach us to give a creative response to the any situation you are facing into. Every time we got two choices. Every time, every moment, we have two choices. Whether to act creatively or whether to act reactively. By going for refuge to Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, Dr. Ambedkar has chosen to act creatively. And if the creativity is considered the art, and if the creativity is considered the beauty, this was the highest art ever performed. This was the highest art ever performed. This was the pinnacle of beauty ever seen. This was the pinnacle of beauty ever seen. Because beauty and art, what it does to the human being, it really changes yourself. It changes your mind. It brings new of you in the world. That's what exactly Buddhism done to these people. When they gone for refuge with Dr. Ambedkar, they started feeling that they as if they are newly becoming. They are now reborn that day. So that way they were feeling that actually something is happening into their life. This coming to the Buddhism or converting into Buddhism has nothing to do with political conversion. Has nothing to do with just having a social change or gaining some material things. Dr. Ambedkar could have well done that. He was very well educated man. He was main instrumental man to write the Constitution of India. He could have asked the Indian government to provide all the material things to his people. But if that would have happened, his people never would have taken responsibility for their lives. That is a very important thing to notice. What Buddhism teaches us? Buddhism teaches us to take life's responsibility, to make it good, to make it better. And that's what Dr. Ambedkar see. Yeah, he very well learned every religion, and he choose the Buddhism because he sees that in Buddhism only you have a chance to work on yourself, you have a chance to work on your mind. And since you can work on your mind, if you do so, whatever inhuman you are, you can become still enlightenment. Yes, whatever state you are put into, but still you can become an enlightened person. That was hope actually he was having, and that's why he really bring his people to Buddhism. That is very important thing to really take into account. But as Charnalka said, Dr. Ambedkar died after 6 weeks of his conversion, bringing people to Buddhism. But just bringing people to Buddhism generally has a huge effect. That is also to be noticed. People started feeling a strong dignity for themselves, strong a new identity for themselves. What was happening? Other people were not treating them as a, not only they were treating them as a inhuman, they were also started feeling that as if they were also inhuman. They were impure. They were considering themselves that, oh, they are not worth living people. So no self-respect, no self-metta, no self-compassion. But when they come to Buddhism with this dignity, they started loving oneself. That is what we just learned in Metta Bhavana. The first stage of Metta Bhavana, what is that? What is that? Yes, self-metta, loving oneself. Unless one loves oneself, how one is going to radiate that love to the world? So this is really a very important thing was happening, coming to the Buddhism. People started gaining a dignity for themselves, started loving themselves. But when they started loving themselves, same time, they started working on their hostility to others. They never been hostile actually. So many, satyagrahas in English? So many struggles Dr. Ambedkar did actually to have the water for drinking, because water was denied, temple entry was denied. So many struggles he did for that without shedding of blood. This is very important. In India, you do get another person actually who has been treated as a sort of ahimsa man. But I personally consider that Dr. Ambedkar was a truly ahimsa man, a non-violence man, because in his struggle, he never shed a blood. His people were beaten when they were doing this struggle. His people were beaten. If he could have ordered them, thousands of people were gathered there. If he could have ordered them, you could have imagined what would have been the situation there. But he was the true follower of Buddha. He knew that this is not the answer. He was knowing that actually, the enmity never ceases with the enmity. It only ceases with the metta. That was his response as a Buddhism. And we people pick that up. Yeah, we do feel sometimes some anger about the people actually who put us into that disadvantaged stages. We do feel sometimes, but we still try to work on that and come out of and come with a creative response to that. That is very important thing. So this is generally what was happening. Another thing was happening, that is, in India, everybody knows that actually. You might also experience that worldwide phenomena. That is a god. And particularly, we were very much operation was completely sanctioned by the God itself. The way the disadvantaged stage we were put in, it was sanctioned by the God itself. So when we convert to the Buddhism, or when we come to the refuge to the Buddha, what we did first, we just deny the God. Denial of God means freeing yourself for taking responsibility of your own life. That is very important. You deny God, because when you consider God, you put your all responsibility to the God. And this is what been told to the untouchable people actually. No, you are untouchable because God has made you untouchable and you can't do anything. But when you deny the God, you are in a complete control of your life. And that is what started happening. People, these disadvantaged people, started taking full responsibility of their life in terms of economy, in terms of education, and even rising their living standard. Dr. Ambedkar used to tell these disadvantaged people, very poor people, nothing to wear, nothing to eat, actually, they used to come to his talks. And what he used to say? He used to say that what you have to do, for those people, he used to say that what you have to do, you have to purify your body, speech and mind. This was his talks. So he was very much in the Buddhism, because he knew that actually this is the only creative response one could give, even in that suffering situation. What else can be? What response, other response could be actually in that situation? Yes, they could choose to be hostile, they could choose to be revengeful, but no creativity, only reactivity. So this was his really creative response. Unfortunately, he died and could not really pursue what he wanted to do with Buddhism and how he wanted to lead his followers the life of Buddhism. And here Sangharshita comes in.
Yes.
We got Triratna after few years, but Sangharshita met Ambedkar and he really see that what Ambedkar wanted to do. Exactly the same way Dr. Ambedkar, means Bhante's vision was sort of a coincide with Dr. Ambedkar's vision, because Dr. Ambedkar thought that what should be the aim of religion? He used to say that aim of religion should be to create a kingdom of righteousness. He used to call it Dhamma Rajya. Dhamma Rajya means kingdom of righteousness, which is based on practice of the Shila morality. And same way, when they talk about new society, again a new response. It's not just enough to transform self. It's not just enough to transform oneself. Unless you transform the society, at least up to some extent, self-transformation is not going to help very much, because suffering will be all around and you cannot have your own emancipation or salvation yourself. So that was very clear to Dr. Ambedkar, and he was definitely trying to help people, but he was no more, and Sangharshita started helping. Actually, our center started growing there, and with having Buddhism, and then with the help of Sangharshita's teaching, lots of people, particularly from the disadvantaged community, started learning about Buddhism and started changing their lives. They already know that actually they have thrown the gods away, but there were some stresses of the gods still. Yes, and when we came to the movement, there were some stresses with us also. But Triratna gives us again chance to take our own responsibility and really work on our own mind, work on ourselves creatively. That was what Triratna gave us. Another thing actually which we consider, or what we call that, we got, that is, when we take responsibility, of our moral behavior. Because in India, it is very easy to show yourself morally behaving in terms of other people. It's because it's Indian society is a huge society, and usually you act in relation to others, what others will feel, what others will think of me. If they caught me stealing something from the dana box, what they will feel, and then I should not steal from the dana. It's not a morality actually. It's sort of a, what do you call that? The social pressure actually, where you want to not to be seen in the light of others bad, so you don't want to steal. But morality takes your own responsibility, because morality, when you start acting on morality, when you start practicing Shila, that means aligning yourself with the nature. How nature is? Nature doesn't want to harm others. Morality teaches the same thing. We don't want to harm others. So this way, we started considering the morality as our practice, and Triratna particularly gave us a chance to act accordingly. There is a huge situation in India, already said, I don't want to say so much, because particularly I am asking, I am going to ask Nyanshuri to particularly speak about one area which everybody would like to really hear about. There is 1600 ordination requests, and not only from the disadvantaged background, it's still mostly coming from the disadvantaged people, but some are coming from other people. Why it is so? It's obvious actually, no? Though we suffer from a particular point of view, but all humanity also suffers. There is a suffering of dissatisfaction. So many kind of sufferings are there. So any sensitive human being would respond to the creative response to the suffering which Buddha has given. It was his creative response, which was his compassionate response. And that's why the other people who sees that actually Buddhism is there as a hope of life, hope for life, they are also coming. They are also responding. They want to come and practice with the Triratna, the way Triratna is teaching. The number is not that big, only quite a few number we are gathering, but it's still remarkable, because that means the other people are also getting chance to really go for a refuge. So that's where means we are working with them. And in India's situation is very difficult situation. It's still poverty, but commitment is very strong. Just I was discussing with Amok Siddhi. Sometime you would get a rickshaw driver, auto driver. You might have seen auto rickshaw in India. Nothing to compare with the taxi driver here, actually, cab driver here. Really poor. But they still would go on a retreat, pay their fees, leave their money, actually, because they have to stop their auto rickshaw for 7-8 days, but still go on the retreat. We need to support these kind of people. We need to really help them to go, there means to help them to go for refuge very deeply. And there are so many people, actually, despite of their poverty, despite of their difficulties, they are coming and becoming free. This is very important. When they started coming or they started practicing the Dhamma, their attitude to the life changes in general. But their life attitude to the woman changes in particular. That is very important. Indian traditional society still look down to the woman. So many cases you might have heard, actually, recently, how the Indian women are treated. They are not secured. They don't feel secured, actually. Even we are traveling, in a public travel also, they don't feel secure. Because that is the attitude, actually, the Indian man has for them. But when we started practicing Buddhism, the attitude towards women started changing, actually. And even men started treating them as an equal and with the metta and with the compassion. But other hand, when women started practicing the dharma, they started feeling much more free. That is very important. There wasn't any opportunity for the woman to tread the spiritual path in India. But Buddhism was the first ism who gave sort of a chance for the woman to tread on the path of the dharma. And so on that basis, they could feel completely free. So how woman is feeling free, Nanshu is going to tell you now.
I can tell some history of Triratna. I ordained in 87. At that time only two ladies there. Nobody coming to retreat that time. After 7 years, two ladies. And after 7 years, seven ladies. So, you see, how changing. Since that time, my time, ladies not free to come to the retreat, or not go out also from home. Very busy and very dependent on their husband or on their parents. But nowadays, many ladies can try to come to the retreat because they feel they are also human beings and they have also right same as a man. And another thing, they can think now. They have more confidence now because of retreat atmosphere. When they study of Dhamma in retreat, they feel that we are not
inferior.
Inferior. We are also same, and that gave more confidence to ladies. And nowadays in classes, many ladies coming, in retreats many ladies coming. In 15 days before we lead one retreat, 100 ladies was there. So this big change coming to India in Buddhist society. So this has happened because of Triratna.
Yes, yeah. This is Nanshuri is an example of that. Means when she started coming to Nitiratna, it wasn't possible for the woman, as she already said that. But she stepped forward. She was already activist, but still she stepped forward. And you might like to really know from her. Today is not time, but I just request you actually do get in touch with her and really ask her actually how she started changing the woman around where she came from. That is Aurangabad Center in Maharashtra. How she really helped the woman and helped the man particularly to free her woman from the house to come to the classes. It's a classic story she got. But you can see that actually the dharma, it's a dhamma, particularly through the Triratna, how that is helping so many people to change their lives. It's not just women, it's just not man of our age, but it is helping so many young people nowadays. Young people want to live their life according to their wish, but sometimes they can actually, you know, tread that path which is not that good, or sometimes could be lead to unethical side. But Triratna is definitely helping, as you people are helping to the young people here. Triratna in India also helping young people there to really seek a path with their energy and with their enthusiasm and with their new thinking actually, but treading on a Buddhism which is going to be a very helpful path for them. So that way we are trying to work there. But interesting thing, caste still dominates India largely. Still dominate India largely. So I mean, it's subtle now. I mean, so it used to be very strong and it used to be very visible. Nowadays you don't see it very visibly, but you still get a strong stress, so still get a lot of atrocities around. But what is happening with the Triratna people? How they are working on the caste? Because that is very much very strong in Indian society. Again, this is a creative response, and this is a response actually, you know, exactly according to Buddha's teaching. Dr. Ambedkar put it very nicely. That's why actually Dr. Ambedkar, one should not really consider him just as a political man. He has a deep knowledge of the Dharma. Though he might not have life for the practicing life for long actually, because he died, but he definitely had a deeper principle of the Dharma within his mind. So he said that caste is nothing but notion of the mind. Caste is nothing but notion of the mind. Caste is not exist somewhere. It exists in the mind. And what mind can create, mind can undo. That is what Buddha said. What mind creates, mind can easily undo. This is what we are trying to do through the Sangharakshita's teaching, through the teaching of compassion, through the teaching of metta, through the teaching of equality, through the teaching of fraternity. That's what we are trying to do. We are trying to get rid of that psychology of the caste conditioning, that psychology of the caste actually, which still is very strong in India. And we have to help so many people to come out of this caste conditioning, this conditioning which is still making India not progressing ahead. Yes, I'm not talking about India in a general actually to progress, but I'm talking that India. If that India really seek their refuge in Buddha, Dhamma and Sangha, it will be glorious India. And we all brothers and sisters through the Triratna are helping so many people to get to that point. And we have to, because what our teacher Sangharakshita says, that actually, you know, we cannot just limit ourselves to the transformation of the self. Unless there is a transformation of the world, we will not have that cutting edge to our transformation. Just want to conclude with the my Kalyan Mitra Subhuti, his quotation from his book Buddhism for Today. You might have well read that. What he said that without the idea of new society, without the idea of transforming world as well as self, our going for refuge is in a danger of becoming an individualistic affair, and to that extent in danger of being not truly a going for refuge. So if our going for refuge has to be truly going for refuge, we need to bring that extra element of helping others. Sometimes we do scared actually, you know, how I can change the world. That is sometimes we think that actually, you know, I can change myself. How can I change the world? But remember that Shantideva very nicely put it. He said that you are feeling hot actually on the earth. You are having your legs are getting burned actually because of earth is hot. You cannot go and spread the leather on the whole earth. What you do? You just wear a shoes. So self-transformation starts from there definitely, but it doesn't stay there. If we start with us, ourselves, transforming ourselves and help at least another one single person to transform their life. We already lit our light. If we help others to lit their light, like their life will be definitely very beautiful, definitely changing. It's changing such an extent that whole world will be very beautiful. The world itself will be art. The whole world itself will be beautiful world. So just wanted to say that. And that's what Tiratna is giving to us. And we want to give that to so many people in India. And if possible, with your help, we all will reach to the every single man of the world to lead their life. Thank you very much. Jai Bhim.